Our second reading, Psalm 54. It's on page 575 of the Church Bibles. Before we read this passage and hear it taught to us, we're going to pray together. Father God, we do ask this evening that as we listen to your word, please would you teach, correct, and encourage us so that we would strive to honour you better and rejoice more in all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 54. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us? Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me, people without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes."
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Ella. Very good evening, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name's John, and it's my privilege to lead us through Psalm 54 this evening. But as we come to God's word, let's first ask God for his help. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that you are the God of the Bible. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word and in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We long that you would be at work in our hearts by your Spirit this evening, to teach us and to change us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once when I was about 17, I was on the train back from Guildford. I was travelling to my parents' house, a 15-minute journey. I'd been on a mission to try and buy a dartboard in Guildford, as you do. And sadly, I was returning home empty-handed. The train stopped at a station on the outskirts of the city, and on stepped a group of 7 or 8 young men in their late teens or early 20s. I was sitting alone in a section of the carriage, and the group approached me, and they sat in a big circle round me. One of the young men sat directly opposite me. "That's quite a bulge in your pocket," he said. "Give me your wallet." Now, there was about £35 in my wallet, the price of a good quality dartboard at that time. There was no way I was going to hand it over. The young man spoke again. "Did you not hear me? Give me your wallet." In a flash, he stood up and kicked me hard on the shoulder. Adrenaline rushed through me, and I glared at him and the gang surrounding me. Moments later, I was punched hard in the face. And looking back on the ordeal, my thoughts were dominated by a single word as events unfolded. Help. Help. It's a word we're very familiar with, isn't it? Which of us here tonight can say that they've never needed help? We all face situations where we long for help, don't we? It could be all manner of things, from the uncomfortable to the life-threatening. And just think for a moment, if no help was ever available to us, if we were truly on our own through the darkest of hours, how terrible that would be. And Psalm 54 speaks directly into that backdrop. We're not on our own. Help is at hand. You see, Psalm 54 points us to God's good answer to a fundamental question. The question is this: where can I turn for help? Well, just before we dive into the detail of Psalm 54, let's first understand the setting and context to this amazing psalm. We're in book 2 of the 5 books of the Psalms. And in this book, we see many examples of David being oppressed by enemies. Lament and distress dominate the content of what's written for us. And lots of these psalms are tied to a specific period of David's life. In Psalm 54, we're told the events that the psalm relates to. It's in the opening line. When the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us?" We had some of the backstory read earlier on in 1 Samuel 23. Basically, David, God's anointed successor to Saul, is on the run. King Saul wants to have him killed. And the Ziphites, who are among God's people, try to hand David over to Saul. David feels betrayed. The Ziphites are from the same tribe as him, Judah. They're supposed to be his kinsmen. And David feels afraid. He knows the jealousy and hatred of Saul. If David's caught, Saul will have him killed. I might have been surrounded by enemies on the train. I might have felt unjustly treated. But David's situation is far more evil and intimidating than anything I've ever experienced. David's life is in great danger. And with this in mind, let's look at Psalm 54 under 3 headings. Firstly, the cry for help. The cry for help. You can learn much about a person when times are desperate. What do we learn about David? What does David do in the darkest hour? David cries for help. Look with me at verses 1 to 3. "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God." There's no hint of David morbidly accepting his fate. There's no thought of David attempting to go it alone. "Save me," he cries. And crucially, his cry has an object. It's not a cry to the night sky, in case anyone's listening. It's a cry to a specific person. David cries to the Lord God, the mighty God, the God who has revealed himself by name to his people. "Hear my prayer, O God," are David's words. David's life is in great danger. And he cries to God to be saved, to be rescued from the hands of his enemies. David feels betrayed by his kinsmen, unjustly treated by those claiming to be God's people. David is loyal to the Lord's anointed. He's done nothing to deserve being handed over to Saul. He cries for vindication, for justice, that God's actions would show he is in the right. Here is a cry for help. Here is a man who turns to God and bears before him the full weight of his problems. Well, early morning on April the 1st last year, my wife Rachel was experiencing wave after wave of sharp pains. It was about her due date. Either there was a baby on the way, or else it was the greatest April Fool's performance that I'd ever experienced. 6 hours in, it had become apparent that it was the former. Rachel had got to the point in her labour where she really needed help. So I picked up the phone and I dialed a number. Who do you think I called? I could have phoned any number of people, couldn't I? But Rachel needed a midwife at the hospital to help her. That's where we turned. We turned for help to the person who can help us, don't we? David needed God's help more than any other. So David turned to God in prayer. And actually, with Elijah's birth, it was God who was graciously answering our prayers throughout. And the truth is, each and every one of us here tonight needs God's help. That's the case for me, and it's the case for you as well. Perhaps you're here tonight and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Well, the Bible says what you need most is God's help. The Bible's crystal clear that all of us are sinners. We've all failed to live with God on the throne of our lives. We've all fallen short of his perfect benchmark. Our sin is the biggest problem that we need help with. But the wonderful truth of the Bible is that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to help us. Jesus came as both fully God and fully man. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus willingly offered himself in our place on the cross, the perfect one bearing our sins and taking the punishment that we deserve. Through trusting in Jesus, we can receive his perfect status before God. This is the best news that you will ever hear, and it's the truth. If you haven't received God's forgiveness in Jesus, then you desperately need help. And God is willing to help. Turn to him in prayer. Acknowledge that you failed to live perfectly. Ask for forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross. Resolve to live with God on the throne of your life from now on. And if you're still not sure how to turn to God for help, then please speak to the person who invited you along tonight. Or please come and chat to me afterwards. I'd love to point you to Jesus. Well, many of us here tonight are trusting in Jesus to deal with the great problem of our sin. And if that's you, then like David, you also need God's help. Each and every day. As Christians, we, like David, are surrounded by enemies. The world hated Christ, and the world will hate all who follow him. And as we struggle in a hostile world, God is the one to turn to for help. David didn't accept his fate. David didn't go it alone. And when we're faced with troubles, hardship, and persecution, we too have the help of the mighty God of the Bible. So let me ask you, will you turn to him? Will you ask for God's help? Will you lift your problems and hardships before the throne of grace in prayer each and every day? Will you ultimately cry, "Come, Lord Jesus"? It's only the return of the King that will bring a final end to our darkest hours in this life. So we've seen the cry for help. Secondly, we see the God of help. In verses 1 to 3, it's as though David was bringing his desperate circumstances to the Lord's attention. In verses 4 and 5, he now brings the strength and beauty of God's being into the focus of his own attention. And right in the centre of Psalm 54, we're given the teaching that is right at the heart of this psalm. Please look with me at verse 4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. David's been focusing on his own plight. He now raises his eyes and his thoughts to marvel at God's might. If we look at the enormity and splendour of the God of the Bible, surely that's the ultimate tonic to dark times. If we lift our thoughts to his goodness and his care, our suffering doesn't disappear, but it is seen in perspective. And there's another reason to look to God, because he's the greatest source of help we can know. Do you remember that question that we thought about right at the start? Where can I turn for help? Well, if that's a question that resonates with you, then can I encourage you to treasure this verse at the heart of Psalm 54? Why not commit it to memory or write it out by your place of work or study? Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. God is for David, and God is for us if we trust in Jesus. He will sustain us each and every day. He will be with us always. He will work all things for the ultimate good of those who love him. But there is a flip side. God is David's help. God is for David. But God is against David's enemies. Please look with me at verse 5. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. The Ziphites are opposing God's faithful servant, despite being among his people. They claim loyalty to another king rather than God's anointed king. They're a shadow of those from among the Jews who will reject Jesus Christ. And David says, let their wickedness recoil or rebound on them. May they be destroyed. They've set themselves against the Lord's anointed. They've betrayed God's man. And David appeals to the beauty of God's faithfulness. God is faithful to save and help those who turn to him. And God is faithful to judge and destroy those who oppose him and his people. Let me ask you, as I ask myself, do you believe that this is true? Do you believe that God is the God of help? And do you believe that God will ultimately judge his enemies? Like David, will you trust God to help and to save? Like David, will you trust God to judge? Well, we've seen the cry for help and the God of help. Thirdly and finally, we see the response to help. In the final two verses of the psalm, the perspective jumps to looking back on the events. Psalm 54 contains the whole rollercoaster experience for us. David's relived the anguish of his original prayer. He's shown us the reason for his trust in God. And now we're presented with this outpouring of praise and thanks. David's response to God's help is really striking. Look with me at verses 6 and 7. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. David's lived to tell the tale. He's been delivered from the betrayal of the Ziphites and the jealous hatred of Saul. His eyes have looked in triumph on his enemies. God has answered his cry for help. God has saved him. And God has vindicated him, shown him to be in the right. In response, David sacrifices a freewill offering to the Lord. Perhaps reading verse 6 leaves you with a few questions. What is a freewill offering? And why is it mentioned here? Well, the sacrifices offered to God in the Old Testament reminded the people of God's holiness and their own sin. Ultimately, the sacrifices pointed the people towards the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sin, the perfect once-for-all sacrifice. And among a number of different types of sacrifice is the freewill offering. We learn more about the freewill offering in Leviticus chapter 7. It's one of the peace offerings. And what makes it very different from other offerings is that there's no obligation to give it. You see, most sacrifices and offerings were required to be made. The freewill offering was not. In other words, David's freewill offering to God is spontaneous. It's not premeditated. It's not the case that God has helped him, so he's duty-bound to make this sacrifice. The purpose is to spontaneously celebrate God's goodness. God has helped and rescued David. David has reflected on the enormity and splendor of God. And he longs to give God the praise and thanks that he rightly deserves. And we see more of David's celebration of God's goodness to him in verse 6. He says, I will praise your name, Covenant Lord, for it is good. A news story that's really gripped the wider world this year is the story of the Thai cave rescue. 12 boys and their football coach were bravely rescued from a flooded cave system by volunteer divers. Each rescue dive took around 9 hours, and there were 3 batches to get through. It's an incredible undertaking. And I remember hearing that the boys had been offered tickets to the World Cup final. And I remember thinking to myself, hang on a second here. What about the divers? What about the brave men who helped the boys? They're the real heroes. What was dubbed Mission Impossible had soon become Mission Complete. And the watching world was all too aware of the service of these divers. After the final five boys emerged from the cave, Thailand erupted in celebration. There were incredible scenes of laughing, dancing, and cheering. There was spontaneous outpouring of thanks, gratitude, and praise for the divers. These brave divers fully deserved the celebration of their help. But how much more so, God? In our lives, we're continually reminded of all that God has done to help us. How much more does He deserve our spontaneous praise, thanks, and celebration? We've seen in this psalm an amazing response to God's help from David, haven't we? He celebrates the goodness of God with praise, thanks, and this spontaneous offering. And his response is a real example to us. Remember verse 5. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Every minute of every day, God gives us breath and life. In every dark hour we face, God is our ever-present help. But when was the last time we really celebrated God's goodness to us? When was the last time we spontaneously demonstrated to our life-giving rescuer our gratitude? We owe absolutely everything to God. And by His grace, we can receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. So how can we celebrate God's help in our lives? Well, why not take some time out of your busy schedule to spend intentionally praising and thanking God in prayer for all that He has done? Why not allow your thanks to overflow in specific giving towards His gospel work? Why not celebrate God's goodness by spontaneously choosing to serve His people in a really sacrificial way? Those are a few examples. There are so many more possibilities. But I hope you see the point. Psalm 54 has clearly shown us that God is the God of help. The challenge is this. Will we, like David, turn to Him for help? And having received His glorious help, will we, like David, be extravagant in celebrating His goodness? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You so much for this psalm. We thank You for all that it teaches us of You. We thank You that You are the God of help. You are the one who sustains us. Father God, please help each one of us turn to You for help, for rescue through the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each one of us turn to You for help with the strains and difficulties and opposition that we face day to day. And Father God, I pray that You would give us, like David, a heart that longs to praise and thank You, the giver of all good things. In Jesus' name, amen.